This is Grow Omaha, the only radio show that talks about economic development, construction, business expansion, and all of those things that make Omaha a great place to live or visit. Grow Omaha on News Radio 1110 KFAB.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Grow Omaha Show. Jeff Beals here at your service, broadcasting live from the KFAB studio here in beautiful downtown Dundee. Show's brought to you by Dingman's Collision Center and D&M Roofing. And without any further ado, it is time to introduce my co-host, a man who is legendary in his real estate deal-making prowess, Trenton Magid.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Jeff.
Well, has it been a good week for you, Trenton?
It's been a busy week in commercial real estate at NAI, NP Dodge, and we have no complaints.
That's good. Busy is good. And speaking of busy, there's quite a bit on the news agenda today. So we're going to go straight into the news of the week, which is brought to you by Eagle Mortgage, eaglemortgagecompany.com. In person, 114th and Davenport Street. They can help you with any type of mortgage, whether it's conventional FHA or VA. And a lot of people are buying houses out there. It is July, prime home buying season. And if you're thinking about joining that parade of home buyers, make sure you talk to the good people at Eagle Mortgage. They have mortgage brokers there that will sit down with you, talk with you, figure out your situation, try to match you with the best mortgage option possible. And they're really good at coaching people through the whole process. EagleMortgageCompany.com. All right. Well, Trenton and I had a unique opportunity yesterday to tour Elevator, which is Omaha's new co-warehousing facility. And when I say new, I mean new. It doesn't open until October 1st.
And it's a new concept.
Yeah, it is. And so when we walked through there, it's still under construction and all that. But Trenton, tell everyone what we saw yesterday in Elevator.
Well, what's interesting, Elevator is at 1401 Jones Street. It's the former O'Keefe Elevator Building, which is spectacular. In about 2001... Skip O'Keefe and his company totally remodeled, poured a lot of money into things. Got this striking staircase and huge ceilings, and it's about 54,000 feet on four different levels. And basically, what it is it's whether you need 85 square feet or you need 1,000 square feet or maybe 1,300 square feet. They have basically co-working space, but you can have your own office, your own little warehouse. Plus, you have common dock high facilities, garage door, break rooms, training room, all these different services. So if you're a mom and pop shop or you're growing your business, you're coming out of your house or a smaller space, and you want to have someone there all the time that can take your packages, store your inventory, and really incubate and grow your business, you know, your goal is to grow out of it, but you have plenty of time to do it. You can do month-to-month leases as opposed to what we usually do, which is long-term leases. And I encourage anybody to look at it. It's under construction right now. Jeff, they told us that they would be open
October 1st.
And it's the new library is going to be across the street. So it's 14th and Jones. Can't miss it. And I encourage everybody to check it out. It's something that's unique. You know, we've heard of co-working space, WeWork, and those kind of businesses. But this is more entrepreneurial focused, where you have an inventory with your business.
Yeah, for all these e-commerce companies. You know, if you're starting some small e-commerce company and you've been working out of your basement or your spare bedroom, it's designed for that guy, that person who's tired of doing that and wants to kind of bring his or her business up to the next level. Cool stuff. And we need more of that in Omaha, that type of infrastructure. I hate to call it infrastructure because it's a private investment, but that type of infrastructure that makes it possible for people to take risks and grow businesses. And, you know, you talked about co-working, which refers to co-office space or community office space. There's a ton of that downtown. But I've talked to a couple of people lately who have said that a couple of the co-working spaces have been hard to find downtown. They've said, I looked at this one and they're full or what have you. And I don't know if that's the case now. It was a couple months ago when I heard that, but obviously it's popular and people really seem to enjoy it.
What we need is more companies to get back to the office.
Gosh, I know it. You know, it's, I totally get it, because if you are working in a situation, you know, I've come to this theory, who likes the the work from home and who likes to go to the office. If you have a private office at your place of employment, I think you want to go back to the office. If you're one of those people that works like at a bench with 16 other millennials whose shoulders are touching you, you're not so fast to go back to the office. I think that's the demarcation line.
Well, absolutely. And it stands to reason that middle management and upper management, if they're calling their own shots, they can go to their own doctor's appointments without a slip to leave and without having to clock out and things like that. They want to go back. They want to separate work from home. But when it's the rank and file and they're in cubes or open office plan and stuff, and they've been able to let their dog out for the last 2 years and play around at home while they're getting their work done, so to speak, that's great too. And I'm not knocking anybody that works from home. I'm just saying I think there's a lot of synergies and a lot of culture that is gained by people together, and we'll have someone that we can talk to about that after the break.
Collaboration and group creativity are very, very important in business, and I think a lot of companies are missing that right now. Hey, let's talk about a huge project that was announced this week. The Omaha Performing Arts Society has announced plans for the Center for Arts Engagement. This is going to be attached to the east side of the Holland Performing Arts Center. It is a $103 million addition. If I remember correctly, the entire Holland Center was right about $100 million.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just over $100 million.
And Steelhouse Omaha
and
is
95% public, privately funded. I'm sure this one is mostly privately funded as well.
And Steelhouse Omaha, I think, is right at $103. So yeah. They have a thing OPAS for building $103 million projects. Right, about $100 million. Yeah, right in that area. So so we kind of add $100 million projects.
I remember $100 million was really something.
We add $100 million projects to downtown quite frequently, it seems like. So this is really cool. I'm looking at an artist rendering. And for those of you who can picture the Holland Center in your mind, there is a large grassy area to the east. That grassy area is also directly south to Steelhouse Omaha, which is under construction and due to open middle of next year. At any rate, it looks to me to be about a three-story addition, a lot of glass, very tasteful looking.
It rises above the Holland Center.
Yeah, it'll be about a half a story taller than the east side of the Holland Center. Not as tall as the part where it juts up where the performance venue is for the symphony and all that. But looks great, and this is going to be in many ways for education and furthering the arts and a lot of outreach. Fundraising is underway.
Do you remember what event they were going to host there before they moved it?
Yes, the Major League Baseball draft.
In the Holland Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, but I kind of remember that, actually. No, on the green space, what event that's very popular they're going to host there that was way too small?
Jazz on the Green.
Right.
And they moved to Turner Park.
Exactly. Yeah. Good move.
Yeah. You're trying to play Stump the Beals, and yeah. So far you're not off to a very good start this morning.
I'll work on it.
Okay, the next news. The Henry Dorley Zoo is expecting more baby elephants.
I'll tell you what, the elephants there are behaving like rabbits.
Yes, they are. And it's a good thing they are because, you know, they are somewhat difficult to I don't want to dig myself into a hole there, but we need more elephants in the United States.
You sure got a nice trunk.
They don't breed as frequently as people would like them to in order to perpetuate the species here in the U.S. In fact, the two baby elephants born at Henry Dorley Zoo this year, or from what we understand, the only two elephants born in the entire United States. And now there are six slated to be born because they have a long gestation period next year. Two of those will be here. So if all goes well, by the time we get to the fall of 2023, the Omaha herd will grow to 10 elephants, four of which will be cute little boogers.
Yeah, I've been down there, and they're amazing to watch, and it's something to see. And that between that and the sea lions, there's definitely reason to go there, no matter how many times you've been down there. And there must be some kind of aphrodisiac being sprayed into the hay or something like that.
Hey, whatever it takes, because it seems to be working, and I think the people who are in that whole animal genetic zoo world are pretty thrilled about this.
They're gonna start bottling that and selling it to humans.
Those who need it, I guess. And then we go for one final thing to the University of Nebraska Medical Center area. If you've been by there in the last couple of days, you may have noticed a large red tower crane. We say the tower crane is the official bird of the city of Omaha, and we love them. And this tower crane is for a six-story Hampton Inn hotel under construction on the southwest corner of 44th and Douglas Street. Also in the Med Center area, it looks like virtually all of the old Monroe Meyer and J.P. Lord School have been demolished.
Wow.
Still taking debris out of the area, but of course that makes way for Project Next, which we know is going to happen, but it's still not finalized formal. All the T's crossed yet.
Are we waiting for federal funding? Have they appropriated the money? They just haven't funded it yet?
There's a couple more levels of federal approval that have to go through. And of course, when you're dealing with the federal government, things tend to take a long time. But also this year, we should start to see construction on the administrative building on the southwest corner of Saddle Creek and Farnham. In fact, I've noticed last time I was in the area, there are some barricades there and people are no longer using that surface parking lot. So that would lead one to believe that construction will probably start soon on that project.
And that'll have a grassy knoll over and above Saddle Creek.
I'd call it a grassy lid.
Grassy lid?
Yeah. It's going to be,
let's call it a crop top.
A crop top. They call them lids when you put a large structure over a road or a highway and actually plant landscaping and grass on it and all that sort of thing. So there will be a lid over Saddle Creek.
It could just be a saddle.
And with that, we conclude your development news of the week by Eagle Mortgage, eaglemortgagecompany.com. Going to take our first break of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to bring on Paul Moss. He is the CEO of Schooler, a company here in Omaha, which is doing great things around the world and recently moved into a brand new headquarters building in West Omaha. Got a lot of things to talk about with Paul, so make sure you stay tuned for that. You're listening to Grow Omaha, brought to you by Dingman's Collision Center and D&M Roofing on News Radio 1110 KFAB. And welcome back to the show. Jeff Beals and Trenton Maggage at your service. Grow Omaha is brought to you by D&M Roofing, Omaha's premier commercial and residential roofing contractor. We love them. They do such a great job for their clients, taking care of people. We've used them ourselves, both residentially and through some of the commercial real estate work that we've done, and we could not recommend D&M Roofing any higher. And then also Dingman's Collision Center for metro area locations. All right. We periodically like to bring on CEOs of Omaha-based companies to find out what those companies are up to and help you understand more about some of these companies in town that are doing great things around the world. And one of those is Schooler. And with us today is CEO Paul Moss. Good morning, Paul. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on the show. And I guess we always like to start with a 30,000-foot view. Tell us a little bit about Schooler.
Yeah, so Schooler is an incredible company. We were founded 130 years ago, 1892, started in Superior, Nebraska. We like to share the story that the real Schooler began in 1967 when Marshall Faith bought the company, and that's where our growth has really taken off. And so we're a much bigger company today, headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska, about 1,400 employees globally, and you know, sales is kind of a number that we look at a lot of times. We're around $9 billion in sales, so we've grown tremendously since 1967.
Wow. Is it private or public?
Schooler's a privately held company, employee-owned, and we really love that about the company. It's something that we feel makes us a bit special.
So how many locations?
We have over 100 facilities globally. Our strongest presence and historical presence is North America, so U.S., Canada, and Mexico, but we do have a larger and growing presence in Asia, based out of Singapore, but then facilities in Indonesia, Myanmar, and a small trade office in Shanghai.
You know, if you got an extra seat, I've been dying to go to Singapore.
Oh, you got to come. It's an incredible place.
How many times
have
you been to Singapore?
I've only been to Singapore twice.
Okay, I'm dying to get there.
If you haven't, I'd highly recommend it. It's a very modern, incredible
city. We could do a remote from there, Jeff.
Sure we could. Yeah, the time zone thing would be tough.
So the product, you know, a lot of Omahans known as Schooler Grain Company, and you go by Schooler now. What are the products?
Yeah, so, and that's our history as a grain company. So we purchase and originate a lot of grain from farmers.
So you buy from farmers, you don't have farms.
Correct. So we buy from farms, you know, store their grain, transport it, get it to the demand source. And if you think about grain, it's harvested once a year, so it's got to be stored. And then that harvest is the demand. You're fulfilling that demand over the course of the next season, basically.
And do you process anything?
We do process, and that's a growing part of our company. We've been traditionally, before I joined the company, we kind of didn't really view that as a capability. And so that's a new capability we have. Probably a big highlight is we built a greenfield pet food ingredient facility in Seward, Nebraska, called Pet Source, but that's freeze-dried pet food ingredients. It was over a $50 million investment, and since then we've announced we're going to triple its size with a $75 million investment, and that project's
underway.
Yeah, in Seward, Nebraska. Yeah, which is fantastic. It's an on-trend product, so if you have pets, try some freeze-dried ingredients, and your pets will appreciate and love you for it.
Well, Paul, before the show, I was going back through some of our old Gromha market reports just to look at all the Schooler news that we've reported on over the last year. And, I mean, every few weeks it seems like there's a new facility that you guys open up somewhere in the world. There was one recently in Asia for fish.
Yeah, fish meal.
Food? Fish meal? Yeah.
Yes, which is a really...
Love that stuff.
It's a very nutritious and important ingredient, especially for aquaculture. But it's also utilized in the pet food industry as well. And, yeah, I would just comment on our growth. I mean, we're on a very dynamic growth plan. We believe it's a lot. I mean, one, it's important for our shareholders to that's what I'm here for, is to creating value and for our shareholders. And you're going to do that more effectively if you're growing. We have so much opportunity as a company, and so we've really leaned in that way. And so kind of if you're watching the news, there are a lot of different growth initiatives that we have announced in our core businesses, but also in innovative new products in different spaces to really expand and grow the company, which has been exciting for myself, but really exciting for our teams.
So, Paul, let's talk a little bit about that new headquarters building. Schooler had been located downtown just south of Central High School for quite some time. Really cool looking building, but recently took a building near 136th and California, completely renovated it. Looks really nice from the outside. Give us a little background on that move.
Yep. The reality is we outgrew it, and we loved our location. And a lot of people in Omaha might know Schooler from attending a wedding. Like you said, Tucker's wedding reception was there.
My brother.
We outgrew it, so we love the space. We would have, if we could have found the right solution for us on the right timeline in downtown, we would have stayed there. But bottom line, we needed more space and also better functionality. So it was really important for us as a culture, as we evolve our culture in the company, to have a more open, collaborative environment. And that facility was, we were on five floors, really cut up today. All of our employees are on two floors in a much more open format. So it really hit the mark on functionality. But we also needed more spaces. We've grown. We've really doubled the amount of employees since I've joined here in Omaha.
How long has that been?
It'll be 6 years next month. So time flies when
we're glad
fun.
To have you and Julie here.
Yeah, I love it.
So during the first segment, Trent and I were talking a little bit about work from home and being in the office. How is Schooler handling that transition with the new building post COVID? I guess if you can say post COVID.
Yeah, and we look at it post COVID. But one during the pandemic, the shift to work from home, we were really impressed with how well we were able to execute our business through that, because everybody shifted to work from home. As we've come through that, and with our new headquarters, we've brought everybody back, but in a hybrid. And so today it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday expected to be in. Thursday and Friday are flex and hybrid. If you want to work from home and your job enables that you can do it. And it really, when we first came back, Friday, we had Friday flex, and that really wasn't enough. We had a lot of feedback from employees, and so we went to Thursday, and it really hit the mark for us. And I think most companies are going to have to figure out what works for them, but that's where we landed in it, and it has really worked out well.
Well, it seems to me that the tough thing, and we kind of alluded to this a little bit in the earlier segment, the tough thing is there are so many benefits that come from collaboration when employees see each other face-to-face, and the creativity that is generated when you're there face to face. And so it seems like it's an awfully difficult challenge for a lot of leaders to get people to be there for that collaboration, but yet take care of this desire that people have to have that time on their own and remote that they're now used to.
Yeah, and I'll comment. Schooler has five pillars of our strategy, and of the five, two are really about our organization. One is to evolve our culture, a commitment to do that, and that enables things then like the investment in the new headquarters. The other is around increasing our collaboration, and we feel that that'll really unlock value for our shareholders. And so we're committed as a company to evolve our culture, and to do that, you've got to spend time together. You've got to have those relationships, and so that's why we feel it's important. We are very intentional about making Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the office, so everybody's there, and that collaboration and engagement and the relationship building is happening, and at the same time embracing, you know, employees' expectations changed after their experience of being at home for an extended period of time with COVID, and we felt like it was really important to embrace that reality as well. And so who knows? You know, right now that's working for us, and it kind of seems to kind of be the sweet spot for Schooler anyway.
So you've been in Omaha for 6 years.
Julie and I have lived in Omaha for 32 of the last 34 years.
Okay.
And then when I joined Schooler 6 years ago, I had already been in Omaha, so it was really a nice fit for us to be able to have this opportunity right now.
So, I mean, you could live anywhere you want to, and you like us, you choose to live here. And so what are some of the things that you see make Omaha unique?
Yeah, you know, and we love Omaha. Our children were born and raised here. This is home. One of the things when I attract talent to Omaha, we talk about Omaha being a great city, a simple city you can get around. You know, there's not the traffic problems that you may have, and yet there's unbelievable opportunities. And there's so much investment that's happening. If you look at downtown, I mean, there's countless examples that you highlight all the time. And so Omaha is just it's the people are fantastic. Schools are fantastic. And we love that, the values and the vibe and the feel that you have here in Omaha. And that's why, you know, as we were making a headquarter change, we never for once thought about, well, would we relocate Schooler's headquarters outside of Omaha? This is home. We're committed to it. We're really invested in doing everything we can to grow Omaha and help it be successful.
So out of the 1,400 employees, how many are in Omaha?
We're at just under 160.
Okay.
So we're very decentralized. That comes with being a global company. But like I said, it's about double from when I started 6 years ago. And the space that we have is very expandable. So I would anticipate that if you said, hey, over the next 6 years, what's going to happen? We'll probably double again.
Awesome.
Okay, we're going to take our middle of the show break for the news. And when we come back, we're going to have more with Paul Mace from Schooler. You're listening to Jeff and Trenton on Grow Omaha, brought to you by Dingman's Collision Center and D&M Roofing. Back in a moment on News Radio 1110 KFAB.
It's tough to keep a cool head in the summer heat, but we're here for you no matter how hot things get. Today's News Radio 1110 KFAB.
And welcome back to the show. Jeff Beals and Trenton Magid at your service. This is Grow Omaha, brought to you by D&M Roofing and Dingman's Collision Center. Everyone knows Dingman's for body repair, but they also do mechanical work as well. And Dingman's has four Omaha area locations. At Dingman's, they would rather be the best than apologize for anything less. And they live out that statement and that slogan every single day. Well, it's time for our commercial real estate development spotlight, brought to you by Noddle Companies. NoddleCompanies.com is where you find them online. You can find their properties all over Omaha and the United States. They're based here, but they do their projects in all sorts of markets. And some of the big projects that Noddle Companies has here in Omaha would include River's Edge, the Builders District, Steel Ridge, Village Point Medical Center campus, and of course, Exarban Village. One little thing about Exarban Village you'll find interesting this week, the shops of Exarban, which are just kind of to the northwest of Exarban Village, have a new tenant going in there. Hokkaido Ramen House plans to open in the former Okra African Grill space. The actual address is 1303 South 72nd Street. Now, Okra is still around. They just moved a little bit to the north to a space closer to Nebraska Furniture Mart. But this Hokkaido is a chain of authentic Asian ramen houses. They have existing locations in Montana, Idaho, Indiana, Illinois, Texas. Don't know an exact opening date, but that's coming to the shops at Exarban Village. But, you know, Trenton J. Noddle is a good friend of ours and the CEO of Noddle Companies. And he is president of the Omaha Streetcar Authority. And I tell you, the streetcar thing is gaining so much momentum right now, past a huge hurdle, a very important hurdle in the city council a couple weeks ago. We're going to be seeing that thing going forward. And the development we're going to see on the Farnham Street corridor is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, kudos to Jay Noddle and his team and all the other volunteers for the streetcar committee, as well as, you know, he's been, I think, 4 or 5 years he's been on the, maybe longer, the Urban Core Committee, the head of that. And that takes a lot of time. And he is so involved in Omaha economic development and making things happen. So we appreciate that.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your commercial real estate development spotlight brought to you by Noddle Companies. Well, we have Paul Mace with us. He is the CEO of Schooler, Omaha-based company that's growing rapidly with operations around the globe. And Paul, one of the things we wanted to make sure we talk about a little bit is talent recruitment. We are in this era that is going to last for the foreseeable future, in which there are just not enough human beings anymore. What is Schooler doing both locally for leadership positions here in Omaha for headquarters and then around the world for all of the functions you need to just find the right people?
Yeah, it is a big challenge. And, you know, holistically, there's 2 job openings for every unemployed person in the U.S. So, you know, the backdrop is a very, very tight labor market. We feel like, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to attract talent to Schooler to be able to execute our business.
And keep them.
Yeah. And, it, you know, the reason is we're committed to a set of values. Yeah, and so there's really deep clarity across our employee base of what's expected and what it's like, what they should expect from leadership and from the company, about what we should expect from one another as we work there. So committed to a culture that is attractive to a lot of folks. And then just kind of, I would describe it as running the business the right way, doing the right things, a culture of safety in our facilities, and investing in that. We are very intentional about developing leaders and investing back in the organization for growth to facilitate that, and that pays off. And so even though the backdrop, and when I talk to other leaders, and I spend a lot of time, especially as we navigated COVID, engaging with other CEOs to really understand, you know, how can I navigate this time successfully? The number one topic over this past year has been talent, has been the labor challenge. And so it's front and center. I feel fortunate that we're navigating it very effectively.
And I think that employers have to do what's right and play their part, but so do employees. And my concern is that in general, there's some people that took advantage of COVID or took advantage of their employers. And it's so important to set the ground rules. And I can't imagine what it costs to lose a good employee. You know, it's a given that both employees and employers have to be good, have good character and strong work ethic, but employers need to realize the cost of losing someone that has a track record, someone that has embedded in the company, and then to retraining the next people. And I've seen that where there's a transient workforce, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it really is disruptive. You know, so we put a lot of effort into doing the right things to retain talent. We have a pay-for-performance culture, and that can really go a long way, where people are rewarded for their performance. If you go back to our founder, Marshall Faith, he believed in sharing the success of the company with those that create it. And so that's a unique part about our culture. And so today, the reason we're employee-owned is because of that decision, you know, that, like, share the success with the company with those. And so as we've grown, our retention rates compared to industry benchmarks are, you know, very favorable, and I think it probably speaks to that.
And it pays off.
It really does. It as you said, it's costly when you lose talent to retrain them, and the time and the effort that takes and the disruption that it creates is, if you can avoid it, it's smart to do.
We're talking with Paul Mace, CEO of Omaha-based Schooler. And Paul, other than talent recruitment, the other big global business issue lately has been supply chain. And your company is part of the supply chain. Talk to us a little bit about what supply chain issues mean to you and your leadership team at Schuller these days.
Yeah, so you know the big part of our company is agricultural products, and the way we transport, it's rail, truck, and container. The performance of railroads is really challenged, and to kind of give you a backdrop, they're testifying with the Surface Transportation Board today because of their execution challenges. And the underlying reason is labor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're struggling to get labor to operate their business and execute their business, and we feel that. Same with the trucking industry. There's a shortage of drivers that's kind of well-known and pretty, you know, in the media a fair amount. And so our teams have, yeah, really had to stay focused on how can we get our business executed with the backdrop of execution challenges on rail, on truck, and then containers, which a lot of consumers, you know, they're waiting on their new refrigerator, furniture, those things that a lot of times are manufactured overseas and brought into the U.S. Schuller plays a role in shipping those containers back to demand with agricultural products. And the shortage or the challenge of getting our hands on containers, very evident as we went through the last year. There's some signs of some moderation, but it's been a very disruptive time here over the last, I'll call it 18 months.
But in the past, isn't there been a glutton and an excess of containers coming from Asia and different places where, to the point where people are building coffee shops and cities out of containers? But you're saying there's a shortage now?
Yeah, the global shipping industry pre-COVID is pretty depressed. They struggled. There were some bankruptcies, consolidation that took place. As COVID hit and all that disruption happened, a huge amount of new consumer demand. You know, folks weren't spending, you know, they started spending their money differently when everything was shut down.
The home office, all those equipment they need.
You know, treadmill, you name it. I mean, all the things that you would read about. Very real, and the system just couldn't handle it. So L.A. Long Beach, one of the busiest, largest ports in the U.S., had 140 ships waiting to get unloaded, right? Now, we've worked through that. I think there's around 20 ships today.
Oh, my God.
So it is somewhat better, but very disruptive because of the shock to the system, I'll call it. And so shipping rates, just this will be kind of an antidote. Pre-COVID, it was around $2,000 to go from Asia to the U.S. During the height of the pandemic, there was rates that traded as high as $50,000. I'd say the going rate is $20,000, but today it's around $8,000. So you could say it has moderated, but it's still four times higher than it was prior to the pandemic.
That's still crazy. A crisis, yeah.
And that drives inflation. You know, inflation is such a big deal, but you know those transportation costs get passed on to the consumer.
Well, with that, Paul, we're out of time, but we're going to have you back someday because there are other things we would like to talk to you about. But we appreciate you so much taking the time to introduce Schuller to our listeners and share about things about where your company's going.
Really appreciate you having on, and I'll come on anytime. Just let me know.
All right. Well, it's our pleasure. That's Paul Mace, CEO of Schuller, based here in Omaha, operating around the world. So we're going to take our final break of the hour, and when we come back, it'll be time for the Turner Construction Lightning Round. Quite a few things on the docket, so don't miss any of that. You're listening to Jeff and Trenton on Grow Omaha, brought to you by D&M Roofing and Dingman's Collision Center on News Radio 1110 KFAB. And welcome back to the show. Jeff Beals and Trenton Magid sitting in the studio. We're brought to you by Dingman's Collision Center and D&M Roofing. And it is time now for the lightning round, which is brought to you by Turner Construction. Turner Construction is building for the future. And in fact, if you go by 78th and Dodge right now in the Beverly Hills Plaza, you'll notice the end cap bay is being renovated. Jerry Ryan used to be there before they moved a few bays to the west a while back, and that is going to be a Chase Bank branch. And if you go by there, you see Turner Construction all over the place. They're doing that build out for that Chase Bank branch, and then they do big projects too. In fact, my father-in-law is in town, and last night. We were driving somewhere and I said, oh, hey, do you want to go see all these data centers that we have under construction? And so I took him down to Highway 50 and we drove by the massive Sarpy County data center that Turner is working on. They're the general contractor for that project. And he, like everyone else I've shown that project to, was just blown away by the scope and the magnitude. So cool stuff. And we appreciate Turner Construction bringing you the lightning round here each and every week. So first up on the docket, we have Cops Pizza, the old location, the original location on 72nd Street near Nebraska Furniture Mart has closed. And instead, Cops has opened up a new west location in a former Applebee's store at 180th and Center. That's now open, and the menu has expanded. I beg your pardon?
It's pretty fast.
Yeah, they got that going pretty quickly, didn't they? Mm-hmm. So anyway, the menu has expanded, and they're serving a lot more there than they just used to. And then next up, Pepper Jack's, 144th and Interstate 80 is under construction.
That must be right next to where I sold that land for that Scooters.
Yeah, there's a Scooters right there.
It's the same piece of land, and we split it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's coming along. It's got the walls up. It's going to be one of those new freestanding drive-through Pepper Jack's locations. And I understand there might be another Pepper Jack's going up on 204th, somewhere up, like maybe north of Maple or something.
Yeah, we
like
need
that.
More Pepper Jack's.
Pepper Jack Grill. And then last week we reported on one in Gretna that was under construction. So Hy-Vee has a relatively new concept called Dollar Fresh Market. And this concept had been centered on small towns primarily. But yesterday, the Hy-Vee drugstore in Florence, suburban Florence, North Omaha, has converted to one of these Dollar Fresh stores. 18,000 feet. They tend to focus more on value and it's more of a price play. And this is the first Hy-Vee Dollar Fresh store to exist anywhere in a metropolitan area. And so it'll be interesting to see if they decide to do more of those in larger cities, depending on how this one in the Florence neighborhood goes. So what else? Red Anchor Seafood is planning a soft grand opening at Metro Crossing in Council Bluffs, going into a former barbecue restaurant. It is Cajun-inspired cuisine.
Yeah.
The soft grand opening July 21st. Trenton, I think you and I need to head over there. When you look at,
I think we need an invitation if you're listening out there.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. But if you look at the picture of it, they've got little statues of crabs and lobster on the outside, so it's got to be good.
I still got to get over to the inner rail and go to Reagan Seafood.
Yes, and you're taking me with you.
Totally.
I mean, that's what you promised
yep.
on the show last week, so we need
you're
to
buying.
Go over there. Oh, maybe I should go by myself then. All right, Sickie's Garage and Brew Burgers.
That was a focus group that came up with that name.
Sickie's. I wonder if it's some guy's last name.
It is.
Sickie's. Okay. Well, they are going into the former Joe's Crab Shack building at the Westroads. Renovations are in full force. If you've been by there lately, they're changing it like crazy, and they're actively hiring. So Sickie's Garage and No, it's called Sickie's Garage Burgers and Brews. That's the actual name. And they are actively hiring right now. This is a place out of Fargo, North Dakota. They do have a location in Bellevue. It's on Cornhusker Road, a little bit east of the Kennedy. And then they have locations, South Dakota and a couple other random states here and there. So they're really growing and getting quite a bit bigger.
I really like Upset Stomach Cafe. Delicious.
The irritable bowel syndrome cafe.
Yeah.
No, they're not called that. They're just called Sickie's. But even though it's called Sickie's, it's from what I hear, a pretty good place. And the Baking Flamingos is opening near 168th and Harrison, a home-based bakery business getting into a bricks and mortar spot. And with that, the music is playing, so we must leave you for one whole week. Appreciate you being with us. I'm Jeff Beals.
And I'm Trenton Maggot.
You've been listening to Grow Omaha, brought to you by Dingman's Collision Center, D&M Roofing, and Turner Construction. We'll chat with you again next week at 9 o'clock right here on Nebraska's Superstation 1110 KFAB.